in national news. KMUD had an opportunity to speak with our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, who shared this update on the 2024 primary election and the implications its results may have for the future of our country.
Congress has been out of session the whole month, and this is what happens in a campaign year right before the election. So most of my colleagues are fanning out to battleground states or working their own districts. I've been doing both of those things. Just got back last week from Arizona. The week before that, I was in Pennsylvania. So it's a lot of campaign and political work right now, and I think all of us are ready for that to be over with Tuesday.
There is a chance that Democrats could take control of Congress. Can you share your thoughts on any key races you're following and what this might mean if Democrats are successful?
You know, so the narrative out there, Lauren, is that this is just crazy close. Everything is tied. And, you know, all these polls are coming in and they're all showing, you know, basically within the margin of error stuff in so many different races, especially at the top of the ticket. That may well be the case. And if it is, then in the House of Representatives, you know, conventional wisdom is Democrats may eke out a very narrow majority. I think we are likely to win back the House, but I think there's a chance it could be quite narrow. And that's really important because if you think about what's going to happen on January 6th of 2025, that joint session of Congress that certifies the election is in the House chamber, in the House of Representatives. And I think it makes a big difference whether Hakeem Jeffries is holding the gavel, presiding over that session. The vice president will technically preside, but the Speaker of the House will convene it. Or whether it is Mike Johnson, who has shown a history of doing whatever Donald Trump tells him to do. And I think we all want to have a peaceful transfer of power and election integrity. And you just have to worry about it if someone like Mike Johnson is in charge.
I know many of my colleagues have been advised to brace themselves for potential unrest on Election Day and leading up to the transfer of power. We've already seen incidents like ballot boxes being burned. Do you have any insight on potential security threats between tomorrow and January?
I mean, not specifically, Lauren, but I think everybody should brace for turbulence for sure. Now, that ballot box burning thing in the state of Washington and Oregon is really disturbing. And, you know, I don't know for sure, but I am hearing rumors that it was far-left activists, that the Antifa lunatics, and that it was the same person that burned, that vandalized in Portland and then burned in southwestern Washington state, those ballots. That race in Washington state, by the way, my colleague Marie Glusenkamp-Perez is in one of the closest races in the country. And the fact that something like 1,500 ballots in an early voting drop-off center were vaporized because of some idiot is really disturbing. I mean, that could affect the outcome in a close election that, you know, decides which party has the majority in the House of Representatives. So it's just insane that people do these kinds of things, but I do think those were one-offs. I think it was the same person and, you know, hopefully an isolated incident.
What will happen if Kamala Harris assumes the presidency or if Donald Trump returns to the office?
Well, those are a couple of real polarities, very different scenarios. Let me first say that I'm really hopeful and confident to some degree that Kamala Harris is going to win. I realize there's this narrative out there that everything is just tied. This is going down to the wire, going to be the closest election in history. I think there's a good chance that narrative is wrong. And I say that because Donald Trump has a ceiling on the amount of support he can get. And his closing argument in the final weeks and months of this campaign has not tried to reach out to anyone new and different. It has been all about just raising the excitement level and the temperature in his extreme base of supporters. And that doesn't grow your support. It just kind of helps ensure the turnout of the people you already have. Kamala Harris is running to represent everyone. I mean, she's campaigning with Liz Cheney and other Republicans. Arnold Schwarzenegger, our former Republican governor, endorsed her today. And so she's just really broadening her appeal in such an impressive and unusual way that I think will make a difference. The other big one that I think will make a difference is women and young people. You know, the idea that angry men, you know, that there just aren't enough Hulk Hogan, testosterone-infused angry men in the country to win for Donald Trump. But there are enough women and young people for Kamala Harris to win, and I'm counting on that to carry the day. And if those groups turn out, and these Haley Republicans and calmer, more sensible Republicans follow the lead of Liz Cheney and others, it may not be all that close. Kamala Harris could win in a huge popular vote landslide, and she could give something in the range of 300 popular votes. And that's kind of what I'm putting my neck out and predicting right now.
There could, however, be a reality where Donald Trump wins the vote. Congressman Huffman, if Donald Trump is reelected, do you truly believe that he would implement Project 2025 and pursue a more authoritarian style of governance?
I believe he will try, no doubt about it. This is not a drill. When we talk about Project 2025, when you know these people who have been some of the closest insiders in Donald Trump's orbit are making this 911 message to the world and to the country saying this man is a fascist, he's dangerous, he cannot be trusted with power. We're talking about the longest serving chief of staff Trump had. We're talking about his former Secretary of Defense, other people, his former Secretary of State. They've told us things that are so deeply disqualifying. And that's based on what he tried to do in his first presidency. If he gets another chance, he now has this cloak of absolute immunity from the Supreme Court. And we know he's facing all this legal exposure and other things, or whatever awaits him after the White House. So he would have everything to gain and nothing to lose to just go all in on wrecking the checks and balances of our democracy. And he has indicated he's going to do that in some really draconian ways for our individual freedoms, for you know, values like civil rights and civil liberties. It's disturbing, and it's not a drill. It's real.
And finally, Congressman Huffman, you are also on the ballot for California's District 2. Is there any final message you would like to share with voters as they prepare to cast their ballots?
I really appreciate that, Lauren. So look, I love this work I do. I'm not going to pretend that it's a happy time to serve in Congress. It's really quite an unpleasant time. But the work is super important and consequential, and I know and love this district really well. So I'm hoping that I get two more years to go to Congress and, you know, try to be a voice of reason where I can, but be a voice of resistance when I need to be. And also just do the hard work of meeting the needs in this district, showing up, understanding the things that need to happen from the top to the bottom of this long, great coastal district, and delivering results. That's what I love doing.
Once again, that was our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, who is facing Republican challenger Chris Coulomb. KMUD News has invited both 2nd District congressional candidates to join us tomorrow evening during our live election coverage.